You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
We are live. Welcome, everybody, to Friday Night on Wrestling Inc., the podcast. It is February 26, 2021, the last Friday Night SmackDown of Black History Month. And what a SmackDown it was. I am joined, as always, by our esteemed panel. First of all, he's the hardest working man in all of podcasting. He is a former WWE and TNA superstar. He is a public servant. He just announced his return to bodybuilding. He is our returning champion, Mr. Matt Morgan. Matt, how you doing, man?
Oh, my God. I want to do you every show now. You're the best. You're the best hype man.
I'm putting you over.
Big time. Thank you.
And then, of course, this is very exciting. This is our first podcast together. She's a member of the Wrestling Inc. family, has great, very funny commentary on wrestling. She currently has an open letter about her love for Bad Bunny that I recommend everybody read. It's awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Issa. How you doing, Issa?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk about SmackDown. I love tonight's episode.
Yes, it was a great episode. Let's get right into it. SmackDown started the way it usually does. Roman Reigns comes out. He says that Elimination Chamber was a perfect night, except for Edge. And just as he's about to cut a promo on Edge, Daniel Bryan interrupts. He asks a very good question. Why didn't you wait till the main event? You're the head of the table. Why did you have to challenge me right after I won the Elimination Chamber? Then Jey Uso jumps in. He says, you got to go to the back of the line. Roman Reigns asks Daniel Bryan, do you want to get hurt again? And before he can answer, Jey Uso pounces. He beats up Daniel Bryan and throws him into the Thunderdome. And that's it for that segment. What did you guys think, Matt?
Awesome. I love this use of Jey Uso. I was getting worried there for a minute because, let's be clear, the storyline with Jey Uso, and I used to, you know, not argue with Glenn, but go back and forth a little bit with this, because Glenn was always like, whoa, just a big babyface push for Jey Uso maybe out of this. I'm like, listen, dude, love Jey Uso just like the rest of you do, but brother, he is the sizzle to Roman's steak. This is about Roman. This is the Roman storyline, and he is a subplot of Roman getting heel heat. So for Roman to get this heel, he's got to be a dick to his own family member. And it's worked. And it's worked wonders. All right? And making him do things that he normally wouldn't want to do at the beginning of this storyline. All right? So with that said, as the storyline has been progressing, there's been a couple times there where Jey really wasn't doing much. And now these last couple of weeks where he's just super kicking people's teeth down there, throw it out of left field, and he's got some attitude with it, I like it so much because it's going to continue the storyline even further to making Jey this dicky heel that he's not accustomed to being. So when he does turn one day, he's going to be ready. It'll make sense. And I can't wait for that day to come. But actually, yes, I can wait because it's a great storyline that they continue to tell. It's the best storyline in wrestling right now.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely loved everything that Jey Uso did. And I love that he stood up without Roman even having to say anything. He said, no, you want to match with Roman, you have to face me. You have to make it through me first, which is what family is supposed to do. That's the storyline that they're trying to tell us. I just want to say that Daniel Bryan has been doing this long enough to know that if he won the Elimination Chamber, he should have been ready to go, whether it was the next match or the last match, right? At WrestleMania 30, he had to beat Triple H to make it to the main event, and he did it, and he beat Batista and Randy Orton. So if you just can't hang with Roman Reigns, the head of the table, the tribal chief, just admit it. Just admit it. That's it.
That's incredible. I love Jey Uso. He's such a good goon, and I mean that in the best way, because they don't treat him like a henchman who just loses and he's there to be the setup guy. Like, Jey Uso is about that life. Like, he's a guy who won two matches in the Elimination Chamber. He beat two people. Like, he's an actual guy. He's not just some Washington general, and he's a very talented wrestler. We've seen him have a great match with Kevin Owens. We saw him have a very good match with Daniel Bryan tonight. I mean, I just love Jey Uso. It makes me forget that he's part of this legendary tag team in the Usos.
Me too.
Like, Jimmy Uso better come back soon, because I'm here for Jey Uso as a singles guy. And
do you know how hard that – think about that. His brand this whole time has been him and his twin brother tag team, best Hall of Fame tag team, one of the best tag teams of all time when they're done. It's going to be hard to argue that they weren't one of the top. And now, you're right, I don't think about him as a tag team. I think of him as a single star now. And I never thought I'd get there, but I'm there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so this is a fun segment. We've got a super chat here from – Jody Sean Jenkins, does Edge beat Roman Reigns at Mania, or do they drag out past WrestleMania? Not sure they should, but I feel like there's a chance Edge beats Roman. What do you guys think about the WrestleMania picture and Edge and Roman?
Hell to the no, he does not beat Roman. Roman definitely beats him. Roman has to beat him. He's still, guys, this mega storyline is going to continue, and it needs to continue. I'm sorry, ratings have been up. Nobody can dispute that this is not, and there's some cool storylines, but this is the storyline. There's no question. This is drawing money. If there was fans to be in attendance right now, I promise you all, house shows would be up. Everything would be up. This is a major draw.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think, I think the storyline might continue. Maybe it might not be just a one-off, but Edge is not, he's not it. I don't know that anybody is ready to take that title off of Roman right now. So you just got to let him run with it for as long as he needs to.
I absolutely want to see Roman Reigns go over. I love Roman Reigns in general, but I just love this storyline. I will say the WrestleMania, that's, you know, usually when the babyface goes over and gets his redemption song. And this is a story they're telling about Edge saying, 10 years ago, I retired. I never lost the belt. So you never know.
It's not 10 years ago anymore, buddy. This is 2021.
So here's what I think. Because there'll be two nights of it, right? I think they're going to have, honestly, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I think they potentially could have Sasha and Bianca close. And here's why. Because I do not think you don't have to have the babyface triumph at the end of, like, the first night, let's say. Or Roman and Edge could wrestle the very first match on the second night. Whatever have you. I don't care where they are on the card. It's the main event. Let's just be honest. It is. But he ain't beating them.
I hope so. Here comes Brian Cyrus for $5. When is Jimmy Uso supposed to come back? Him and Jay should win the tag team titles. Well, I mean, I like that, but, you know.
That's old stuff. That's old bleep for Jay Uso.
It was reported that he was supposed to be back by the Royal Rumble, so he's ready to go. I mean, his knee is healthy. Maybe they're just seeing Jey Uso, and they're just like, hey, man, let's ride this thing out.
Poor guy. Poor guy.
We've got one from Justin Lopez, friend of the show. I'm hoping he still sees singles action when Jimmy returns. Very good point. I can see Jay as a solid mid-card champion down the line.
Yes.
And then finally, we've got one from Krana.
Oh, Krana Shaw.
Says, should have been Edge and Christian versus Roman and Jay at Fastlane. I'd like to see Edge and Christian versus the Usos now that you bring that up. That would be amazing.
Ooh.
That's so bad. I like that. That was a good fantasy book right there.
Yeah, that is. That is really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got one final offer. If you're doing a sponsor advertisement, it better be awesome. That way we don't need Glenn Chu and the Barbarian to do it. Don't you bury the guys who aren't there. You keep the same energy. But thank you for the $5, Brett Murphy. We really appreciate it. So we go backstage. Edge comes out and he's questioning why Daniel Bryan cut the line. He's talking to Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville. Pearce said this match is still on his lap, and he announces that it's going to be Daniel Bryan versus Jey Uso tonight. And if Daniel Bryan wins, he gets to face Roman Reigns for the title at Fastlane. And Edge is pissed about that. He just storms off. Next, we get Otis and Gable versus the Mysterios. Now, if you remember last week, Otis did turn heel, and these guys are full-on heel. Otis is working like Vader, like barely. Just a monster. And this is like a lovable guy. And we get a quick match. The second Otis tags in, he hits a top middle rope splash on Rey Mysterio, and Otis and Gable wins. What do you think about this heel Otis, Matt?
I like it better than, to be clear, I hated what he was previously doing. I'm not an Otis guy. In real life, I know him. He goes to my gym. He's a nice guy. Storyline, though, with the way they've been booking him, I've never been a fan of any of the stuff they've been doing with him. The Mandy storyline for maybe a week I liked. I thought it was funny. Thought it was cute. But that was it. Like, when he won the Money in the Bank briefcase, I was pissed. I hated that. You know, so I'm not a fan. I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. Just not a fan. So anything is better than what they've been doing with him, which means this is akin to being the world's tallest short person. So what?
Yeah, I am not an Otis person either myself. So I'm here. I'm more here for seeing Chad Gable being used. It's just sad to see him being used this way, because there's so many talented people on SmackDown that I would love to see him have matches with. But at least he's on TV, right? The Mysterios, I am over them. And it makes me a little sad because I remember when Dominic first came, I was like, oh, I would love to see them have a run as tag champions, dad and father, you know, but this was like a year ago. Now me I don't want to see them anymore.
Oh, no. They were a hot act when they had the whole thing with Seth Rollins. In terms of attracting people to the television, you say what you want to say about the creative, but a lot of people were really into that Seth Rollins stuff that they did with the Mysterios. And we've got Wolf Bane shooting a shot. Issa is the real head of the table. How about that, Issa?
I think this is the same guy that asked you if you were single like 3 weeks ago. Very inappropriately, might I add.
Another super chat. Reigns can't lose until a future match with Rock, and I 100,000% agree. And I don't even think he should lose that match.
No, he shouldn't.
No, he shouldn't. Mm-hmm.
And then George.
And want to know something? I will say real quick, Rock is smart enough not to do it either. Mark my words.
Right. George Devine says, would you three prefer to see Jay win the IC title while he's a part of Reigns faction, or for him to win the tag titles with his brother? Good question. What do you think, Matt?
Okay, I want Big E. See, I love Big E. I've been waiting for them to do the right thing with him, right? So I don't want to see – this is a tough call. If there was no Big E at the level of the Intercontinental Champion level guy that he needs to be right now, I'd say hell yes for Jey Uso. You know what? Screw it. Yes. Yes, I do.
I think if you add Jimmy Uso to this table, right, and he becomes part of the Roman Reigns protectors, then they will look better with the tag championships.
Because they both have belts.
Have belts, and then you have Roman with the Universal title.
Yeah.
But if you take Jimmy Uso out of the equation, I'm 100% with you. I would love to see him have an Intercontinental title run. But again, I also love what they're doing with Big E. That's the thing about SmackDown. The possibilities are endless, and it's a fun show to watch because of that.
It is.
You're right. Now we get into this segment, which I felt was the best segment of the month, let alone the year. Apollo Crews has new gear. He's got his scarf. He walks out there, newly healed. He gets on the mic and he says, why the sudden change? People tell me I've been nice for too long. He says, I'm not from the hood or suburbia. I'm from Nigerian royalty. I'm a real African American. My great grandfather ruled the Teeb nations. He had five wives, wealth, dominance, and power. That's what he was about. And he told them that when your enemies defy you, you show them the steel. Then he gets into some Nigerian bars. And he gets into a Nigerian accent. He says, Shinsuke Nakamura, you will suffer the exact same fit. It was amazing. It sounded like my Uncle Frank. And then Cruz faces Shinsuke Nakamura, mocks Shinsuke Nakamura with an Olympic slam on the win. This is a new Apollo Crews, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think about this, Matt?
I loved it. I did. He ballparked this. Now, really quick, Issa, both you guys, Issa and Alfred, rather. One thing I never really dug is when somebody turns heel and, like, the next week, they're completely changed. Their gear's different. Their hair's – they have a mohawk. Their beard – everything about them is now different all of a sudden, like, overnight. I always think that's kind of hokey, but he did need something. He did need something as a catalyst to start telling that story. When he comes out right away, he does look different because he needed that. He needed that what you call fresh coat of paint. This is it. And I love, where the hell did that story come from? Is that all true?
It's 100% true. His name on the Indies was Wuhan Nation, which is a nod to his Nigerian.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
yes.
Nigerian heritage. Issa, what did you think about this segment?
I loved it. And I do feel like this is something that has been slowly building up to it. Not to bring Roman back, but I'll never forget when he was sitting back there having that conversation with Roman Reigns a few weeks ago, maybe it was like a month ago, getting a little advice from Roman Reigns. Then he slowly tried to beat Big E the right way and he couldn't get there. And you know what? He snapped. And I absolutely loved everything about this. Like, he's like, no, you're going to put some respect on my name and I'm going to show you exactly why. The promo, I never once cared for Apollo Crews talking. I couldn't get enough tonight. So listen, good for him, bravo. The gear was on point. I really, really loved everything that he did until he got to Shinsuke Nakamura. Poor Shinsuke, man.
Hey, somebody's got to suffer, you know?
I know.
Yeah, that's a great point about the gear. I completely agree with you. But what I liked about this is that he was incorporating his new gear into his promo and talking about his Nigerian royalty because it was filled with Nigerian symbols and stuff like that.
That's why it worked.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's exactly why it worked. And like Issa said, she's right. This wasn't an overnight turn. This was a slow, not slow, but it was a little bit of a, my favorite word, crescendo into this. It really was. It didn't happen overnight, to be fair. But what was I going to say? Did he really say steel?
Steel, yeah, you show them to the steel. And that's something that Corey Graves repeated on commentary. He said that his grandfather says that you show them the steel. So that might be something that he repeats over and over.
Brother, isn't that mean gun?
It can, yeah. I mean, in the streets it does. But because he used a steel stairs, I guess they can talk about the steel.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, because he threw the steel stairs on Big E, so that's the steel they're talking about. WWE's not talking about guns.
Right. I can assure you. That's right.
So he didn't mean it.
It is two ways. Yeah. Jody, right on cue, says, loving the new heels persona. I was a huge fan of his Uha Nation gimmick, and I hope he transitions into something like that more. And yeah, I agree. And then we've got another super chat from Stellar Justin Lopez. What a time for Apollo to come up with the African royalty heel gimmick with Coming to America 2 coming out next week. Jokes aside, strong promo. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Good timing. Let me just say, as a real African American, as a fellow real African American whose family is from Liberia, which is the better Nigeria, but they're splitting hairs. I completely approve of this. This promo connected with me. I love the line, I'm not from the hood or suburbia. It kind of acknowledges that there is nuance to being black, you know? And I really have to commend, because I am kind of a pioneer of criticizing WWE openly for their treatment of black wrestlers and whatnot, but I would love to come forward when they do right by their black wrestlers. And between Bobby Lashley, Bianca Belair, who you saw tonight, going to WrestleMania, Apollo Crews, even Reginald, like they've done a good job, great job. Promoting black talent. I really like this Apollo Crews promo in how they're
but not doing it in the stereotype, not in the stereotypical fashion, right?
Exactly. If you were to tell me and I didn't watch the show that Apollo Crews spoke in a Nigerian accent tonight, I would think he was like a cartoon, like, welcome to Nigeria, let's dance. You
know? Me too. Me too.
Oh my God, I would have hated that.
Apollo Mania, really wild. Yes, it is, Wolfbane, for $3. Love that. And then do we have another? Yes, long shot. But I could buy Cruz taking out Roman. And it's interesting you say that, because they have been doing a thing where Cruz is like an understudy of Roman. And right after this promo, they cut to Roman Reigns in the back. He's been watching the promo and he's kind of interested in, like, impressed with what Apollo Crews is doing. Very subtle, but they did immediately cut to Reigns.
This is not to set them up versus each other. I want to burst everyone's bubble. But it's to give the kid the rub from the champ, from the main guy, the big dog on the show. And that's what it was, because nobody has turned heel in a bigger, former fashion than Roman did. Roman was baby as baby gets. And when he became heel, boy, did he become heel. And he's given that rub to another young and up and coming talent that's going through a similar situation on a smaller level, obviously mid card. Right. But it'll be much more. He's going to take this and explode this. Absolutely. You know, but he ain't coming after Roman anytime soon. He's got to have his heel run here for at least 6 months, maybe 9 months, I hope.
Yeah, and then so in that backstage promo with Roman Reigns, it's basically Paul Heyman coming up to Reigns and hinting that Daniel Bryan has to win the match. He says if Daniel Bryan wins, he'll get the shot or whatnot. So kind of hinting to what eventually happens, but we'll get into that a little bit later. And then after this segment, we get Bianca, Liv Morgan versus Tamina. So this match is interesting. Liv Morgan looks very good. I mean, I'm a big fan of her. She's looks good in terms of her offense, but she got a couple of moves in and Tamina hits a super kick from there. It's just all Tamina and it's basically a squash match. They have this new catchphrase between Tamina and Natalya that I kind of like. They say they're going from reliable to undeniable. So I guess they're just going to kind of push them as tired of waiting in the wings. But wild, yeah. She beats Liv Morgan, just destroys her wins the match. What did you guys think about this?
I love that. I love that saying because it's a shoot. We're done being a good hand. We're done being the talent you're booking to get these younger talents over. We never really got our shot. F that. We're stepping up. And being undeniable. I thought it was really, really good. Really good. It served its purpose. Yeah, I'm a Liv Morgan fan too. But I've never felt that Tamina's ever got a real fair shake. She's got hurt at the wrong times twice, I remember, when she was about to get that push. But she's still there. She still has, in my opinion, $1 million look. She's a big – you won't say big man anymore, right, in the women's division when we talk about a big – big, strong, tall athlete. So big woman, style wrestler. And she's money. I think she's money. I just think that they've ever really fully tapped into her.
Yeah, I agree. I think I talked about it last week, Tamina and Natalya becoming the veterans that nobody really takes seriously and like becoming a tag team in that kind of way. I can get behind that. I've always wanted more for Tamina. And if this is the way that she gets it, good for her.
No, absolutely. I mean, I don't know what they're doing with the Riot Squad, but it definitely looks like they're building Liv Morgan and Tamina for something. So who knows if they get a tag title shot or if they're in a group match or whatnot.
But I love Liv Morgan. I don't like her in Riot Squad. I want her by herself. I want her to be a single star. I don't know why I'm like the only person that doesn't dig the Riot Squad, but I don't.
Yeah, I mean, if they did something with the Riot Squad, I'd like it, but they've always been in neutral. They've never gone that extra step. So that Riot Squad brand to me has always just been, they're just going to be kind of going around in circles.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So we get to Bianca Belair. She's going to make her decision. She comes out. She says it's been 3 weeks, 5 days, 2 hours since winning the Royal Rumble. Her mama always told her that choices define who you are, and my choice is clear. But before she can make that choice, here comes Reginald. He says you're going to be haunted by your bad choice. The choice is what defines you, and it's going to be a bad one. But then Sasha comes in, and she says, don't ever speak for me, Reginald. And she tells Bianca Belair, if you want to make history, you'll choose me. And she crosses the line by saying that Bianca's not the EST. Bianca's just second best. And that's just too much. So from there, Bianca Belair decides she's facing Sasha Banks at WrestleMania. And we get the point into the sign and all the fanfare. So it's going to be Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks at WrestleMania. What did you guys think about this rollout?
Really quick, Issa, what I was in the gym watching this. And it was up on the big screen as well, right? And you can see all the other TVs next to it, right? I was watching everyone's reaction. I always try to watch all the people in the gym's reaction. Do they ever watch the SmackDown TV that's on over there or not? When Bianca came on, that big freaking inviting smile that she has, she's got $1 million smile. She just does. It lights up the frigging planet when she smiles. Not to sound corny, but it does. And I'm not joking. I watched all the other guys on cardio, like, stop. They took their headphones out and they're like watching, like, who's this girl? Five of them did that. I would say, I don't know if they're wrestling fans. I've never met them a day in my life, but I don't know. I just thought that there was something to that. I was like, she screams star in every sense of the word with her, just her genuineness. Like, she's authentic. And there's something that just draws me to it.
Yeah. I love that you just said that, because that is the thing that I absolutely love about Bianca Belair. Not only do I think she's it presence-wise when she comes out, she always just looks so on point, but there's just something so relatable, something that really makes you want to root for her. And it's just every time I see her, I'm like, oh my God, this girl is it. And I hated that Reginald interrupted her. I'm glad that Sasha kind of brought back. I do like Reggie, don't get me wrong, but it was like, we gave Edge the big point at the sign and take down Roman to make his pick. I wanted Bianca to have the same grand make your pick moment. And when Reginald came out, I didn't like that, honestly. I thought that she deserved to have her moment because we've been waiting for this decision. That being said, I think we all knew she was going for Sasha. I think this is a dream match, at least for myself. I think it's a dream match. I cannot wait to see it. And I hope that Bianca wins at WrestleMania. I think that's the right choice.
Yeah. Amen. The Reggie thing is weird. Like, they're definitely going to institute Carmella in this somehow. I don't know if it's going to be a three-way at WrestleMania. I don't know if they're going to do it at Fastlane or whatnot. But the Reginald thing is kind of weird that he's always had a hand in their feud. So they're doing some of that. And Matt, I love that idea that guys running on the treadmill, let's see what they're paying attention to. I think WWE should hire a street team guy with all that money they have to just stand around. What are the guys in the gym paying attention to? That's who your stars are. That's a great measure.
They were watching NBA, just to put it in perspective. And they all, like, I'm dead serious. They all did, they took their headphones out from watching that because it was playing through the speaker system. You could hear SmackDown and see it. Where all the other TVs, you have to put your headphones in to the cardio equipment and pick the channel of the game that's on. So there's no question. They were listening and watching her.
That's awesome.
And I was like, that's pretty friggin' powerful. Wow.
She's it. I'm sorry. I love Bianca.
No, absolutely. Jack Collins for $4.99. Didn't know what's up backstage, creative, etc. But things turn around a lot. A few months ago, WWE was cringe to watch. Raw still is to me.
I agree. Okay, I agree. I hate cringe. I hate Raw. I agree with that. SmackDown is just so night and day. It is. You said it best earlier. It's such an easy and fun show to watch. It just is. Mm-hmm. And when it sucks, okay, it's only 2 hours. I don't feel like I lost any time doing something else. Where when Raw sucks, I get so angry at myself that I gave up those 3 hours. And I'm like, gosh, you see my reaction when I come on here. You could tell when Raw was atrocious, my reaction before we even start the show.
3 hours is a long time to watch wrestling.
Right?
Get into Street Profits versus Sami Zayn and King Corbin. So the story of this match is basically the film crew for Sami Zayn is following around Baron Corbin. They keep filming him. And Corbin's getting increasingly more pissed off. He chases him off at one point, but toward the end of the match, they're still filming him. He's like, stop filming me! And Sami and Baron are arguing. Montez Ford hits this just incredible tope where he jumps over Sami Zayn on to Baron Corbin. Then he hits a frog splash on Sami Zayn, and the Street Profits win the match.
Real quick, this was great. All right. Where the hell the Street Profits been, by the way? What the hell? I feel like we haven't seen them forever. It feels that way, at least. But I did pop for Corbin chasing them away. I actually out loud laughed at that. I did. I did. That was fun.
I absolutely love everything that Sami Zayn has been doing. This whole conspiracies, film people behind him thing is funny. It's so much money. Like, they better release a documentary, like, produced by Sami Zayn at some point, because I am here for that. Like, I have to see it.
And you know what? They better not just be on, like, some television show. They better do this on the WWE Network to, you know, get people to really come and subscribe. I would watch that live. I can't wait.
Yeah, when they transition to Peacock, that could be the first thing that they put up there to get everybody to come.
I'll watch it, too.
And listen, I love Sami Zayn, but Montez for that spot when he went, oh my god, that guy is so talented. Every time he's in the ring, he always does something that makes me go, Jesus, dude, chill, calm down. Like, he's so good, but I love it.
And don't get me wrong, I love his partner too, but like, it's now they're a good tag team. WWE is a crappy tag division, so they need all the good tag teams they can get when they get them, right? I see that. With that said, it's a singles business. It's a singles industry. It just is. The singles talents is what the draw is. It's what draws money. Montez has got to – they've got to – I wonder when they get to that point, when they finally make the – draw the conclusion of, holy bleep, this dude is money. He could cut a promo. He's in great shape. He looks like an athlete. He is an athlete. And he's great in the ring. What else – is he missing? I don't know what he's missing as far as ingredients go to be a star. So when do they make that call, you think, Alfred, when they finally, you know, tell his tag? He super kicks his partner through the barbershop window. When
do you think that's coming? They, you know, they could have a peaceful split like the New Day, you know? They could do something like that. But I think it's only a matter of time with Montez Ford. I think they're still on top of the world in the tag team division. There's still some ground to cover there. I don't really think they should rush him, but I think it's only a matter of time. And I think within the next 6 months, like, this is something that either this summer or even early next year should be explored, is Montez Ford as a potential world title contender, because he's had some singles match. I remember he had a match with Seth Rollins that I just thought
was awesome. It was awesome.
Like, this guy should be a single star now. But the Street Profits are a good act. But yeah, you're right. The time is ticking. Mm-hmm. We got a super chat from Prince GQ24. Bianca versus Sasha needs to be one-on-one unless you add Bayley, but other than that, nobody else. I think it should be one-on-one no matter what. If Bianca's going to have her moment, it should be one-on-one.
What am I missing here? It is one-on-one.
It is one-on-one, but I mean, we were talking earlier about how Reginald is involved, so it might be a three-way. Or they're doing something with Carmella, that's for sure. I mean, they're not just having Reginald out there for no reason.
Oh, boy. No.
No, let them have. They should be one-on-one. But that being said, I miss seeing Bayley tonight, and I do think that Bayley will sneak her way back into a title storyline in no time. In the meantime, she's still doing her thing while not being involved in the title picture, so let her be.
Gotten more over without having to wrestle, which is the name of the game if you can find a way to do that, right? And I just wrote in the comment section that I was like, this is like the best act, her ding dong whatever the hell it is show. I in tears laughing at some of that shit. Like, she is so funny and so entertaining. If Roman was not on that show, to me, she's the most entertaining act on there. That's saying a lot. Because that's with Bianca Belair, who I'm incredibly entertained with, and Sasha, who I'm entertained with. That's why SmackDown, you guys, is so frigging stacked, isn't it?
That's what we were talking about off air, like, before you came in. We were talking about how loaded SmackDown. Justin Lopez says, Montez and Bianca got WWE power couple written all over them, just a matter of time, Matt. Yeah, absolutely. And you want to talk about second generation stars? If they have a kid, decides to be a wrestler, good night.
Oh my God. The athleticism, the charisma. Like, they're both 10 out of 10. If this is like we're playing WWE, whatever the hell it is, a video game, their charisma, their athleticism is already 10s. What the hell will their kids be?
Absolutely.
Like, New World stuff, guys. I'm talking like alien type stuff, like stuff we've never seen before. Stuff.
Their finisher will be them jumping up into the barricade, you know, into the stands or
for
something.
For real, though. Yes.
Bayley has no direction for WrestleMania. I think they're going to make her host it. You know what? I think it'll be fun.
Okay.
She better wrestle. Like, she's still in her prime, and maybe they'll make her host it, but I want to see Bayley wrestle too.
It's too nice. They should have time to form a storyline for everybody that's over right now and put them in the card. Whether she's in a title picture or not, she should have a match at WrestleMania. She worked very hard this year.
What about who does she work then? Who? Oh.
Carmella and Bayley would be good.
So we get to a backstage promo with Daniel Bryan. He says his chances of beating Roman Reigns are better than Edge. Edge comes in there and he confronts Daniel Bryan. He says, who do you think would win between me and you? Daniel Bryan smiles and he says he'll keep that answer to himself. And again, Edge, very pissy mood for Edge throughout the night. So he's not very
happy.
I don't know where it's going for, but he seemed like a heel tonight. I wasn't a fan of what they did with Edge tonight.
I always call him overthinking Edge, because ever since he won the Rumble, all he does is just overthink everything that he thinks of says, and it drives me crazy. To go against Daniel Bryan over Roman Reigns. Why are you complaining? This is a win situation for you. Help him win. If I was Edge, I would help Daniel Bryan win. But no, like, I don't know what he's doing. I think maybe he's having a bad day or menopause. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why Edge is so mad, because it's like he still has the shot at WrestleMania. It's not like Daniel Bryan is threatening that. So, I mean, they haven't really articulated why Edge would be so mad about that, but, you know, he is.
Yeah.
Then we get into Seth Rollins. So he's in a nice, shiny little white suit. He talks about last week's complaint that he wrote to WWE management. Got a huge response on social media. Twitter, TikTok, all the people are talking about it. This brings out Cesaro. He's all fired up. He's hot. He's got his shirt off. He wants to fight, but Seth backs him down and says, you know, I didn't say you're a loser. I said that you're a loser because of the situation, not in general. and he starts putting over Cesaro. Cesaro is pound for pound the strongest man in WWE. Great technical wrestler, all the stuff you hear about Cesaro. And he says that you just don't have a killer instinct, but I can give it to you. It's never too late to start again. You just need to embrace the vision. And Cesaro just swings Seth Rollins, uppercuts him, and walks off.
So, all right. I wasn't a huge fan of this at first. I was after tonight, though. I think I am now. This is on Cesaro's knees. Now they're talking about all the obvious things that we've all heard about backstage, right? How Vince doesn't see it in Cesaro, right? Back like 5 or 6, whatever hell it was, when he first got that initial push and had a really great match with Cena. He should have been made that night, by the way. Anyways, he brought to the surface, Seth did, all of the things we know about him. Great look, great body, strongest pound-for-pound wrestler, fantastic in the ring, his style is different. He's got everything it takes except that killer instinct. I can buy into that. I can. And why I don't like his stupid character of, you know, this David Koresh, if you will, type of thing. I'm not a fan of that, you know. But if you're going in this direction, I do like it for Cesaro. I think there's something here.
I just want to say that tonight I was embracing the vision because Seth Rollins was a vision in white. That outfit, 3 weeks in a row, this man is killing it for best dress. He looked good tonight, like good. Last week I thought he looked sharp. Tonight he looked good. I thought he made some valid points to Cesaro. I was like, you should probably embrace the vision because the dude is making valid points and you should take that advice because Cesaro is missing something. He's there, but there's something missing. So I can see why Cesaro got mad. Maybe the truth hurt a little bit, but I am here for this feud and I cannot wait for the match.
Yeah, I think Cesaro's ceiling, I mean, if he teams with Seth Rollins as like a disciple type, I think that would be much better and he'll go much farther than if he feuded with him, probably loses and then goes back to being Cesaro. Now, this is not a super chat, but this popped me. Cesaro needs pasty. I think that's hilarious. The guy's got great pecs, but you know, this guy, Mike Martin, apparently thinks he needs pasties. You're inappropriate, Mike Martin. Jack's killings. I gotta hold it together. Jax Collins says, dude, Sammy, Jay, those guys just get it. Like Shawn Michaels and ETC did, they live in the moment. Others, like actors on 2 a.m. infomercial. So, they have good promo delivery, is I think he's saying as well. Yeah, I definitely agree in terms of their delivery. Jay really does come off like a badass. I like his shirt. It just says, I'm going to get him. And he said that tonight again. I just love Jay Uso. And Sami Zayn is incredible. Whether he's babyface, heel, I thought they killed him by making him a heel, but he's pulled that off. Just like Johnny Gargano, how we talk about him, Matt, on Wednesdays. I think Sami Zayn has that same type of quality to him where he can be a babyface or a heel and be entertaining.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So then we get into the main event. This is Daniel Bryan versus Jey Uso. This is a very good professional wrestling match. It's basically Jey Uso working over Daniel Bryan's knee that he, quote unquote, injured during Elimination Chamber. They brawl to the outside, and it ends in a double countout. So that's kind of what Paul Heyman was alluding to, in that Daniel Bryan would have to win the match. He doesn't win the match. It's a countout. So now Roman Reigns, for now, doesn't have to face him at Fastlane. Roman Reigns hits the ring. He pummels Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan catches him in the yes lock, but Uso hits a super kick, and they continue to pummel him. Reigns hits a guillotine on Daniel Bryan and stands tall as SmackDown goes off the air.
All right, so we multiple times now I've said why they could never put Daniel Bryan at this point before Edge was coming back, if you guys remember, before we knew Edge was coming back to wrestle Roman. Potentially Daniel Bryan could be a matchup for Roman Reigns at Mania.
Right.
Roman definitely has to steamroll through him, but would be a good matchup for him at the time. Mm-hmm. All right. And I was like, the reason we couldn't do that though, is because they kept beating Daniel Bryan. Cesaro was beating him. Like he wasn't winning matches when he would wrestle. And tonight is another example of it. Yes, he didn't win, but he also didn't win. He had a double count out with Jey Uso tonight, you know? Not poo-pooing on Jey Uso, but, I mean, this is Daniel Bryan again, who's still able to wrestle full bore. And I don't know. I don't want to sound hypocritical here, but it's like, I still think Daniel Bryan, they should be getting so much more out of him. So much more. To me, he's a top talent. He's a main event talent. I don't know why he's not being booked that way. I don't know.
Yeah, it makes – It makes when Jey Uso told him in the beginning of the show, no, you just got to go back to the back of the line. It makes sense. You won the chamber. That's the only reason why you even came close to getting a shot. Because like Matt said, he's been in a losing streak. Lover or hate it, he has. And it makes getting a win over him, it doesn't feel as important anymore. Yes. That's why I don't like that they keep beating him, because now it just feels like anybody could beat him. And it's Daniel Bryan we're talking about. You should not be able to just beat him, you know?
Nope.
That being said, I just love how they keep just having Roman come out of nowhere at the end of every SmackDown. Like, it just makes my life. And that sinister smile that he had when he was choking out Daniel Bryan. Listen, that man is that he's just on another level right now. And I am just loving it, because I think we all knew we could get here with Roman Reigns. It was just a matter of finally pulling the plug. And now that the more confident that he gets into this new character, it's just amazing to watch, honestly. I wish there was a crowd there, because I would love to hear the real crowd reaction instead of the stupid "you suck" chants that they're piping in when you know we're all feeling him right now. Stop that!
You know what though, guys? I'm actually glad we don't have fans. I know that sounds crazy. The reason why is because I would be so fearful. We'd all be cheering for him. There's no way around it. We just would be cheering for him, because this is the Roman we wanted. As a baby face, by the way, that they didn't give us. And this is now what he's doing, right? So I don't care what he's cheating to do, to cheat and lie, cheat. I don't give a crap. This is the badass that we wanted to see. So my fear, Issa, would be if the fans were there, they'd be cheering for him. And WWE would screw the pooch and go, oh, no, don't you see what's happening? He's babyface, so we got to make him babyface again. That's it. And they're going to start overwriting his promos and getting in the way again, instead of letting him take the ball that they've given him, or better yet, forget that, he's taken from them. And he's been doing his own shtick. Him and Paul Heyman have been noticeably doing their own promo work. So, you know what I mean? Like, so I want to see WrestleMania, how the fans react, but at the same time, I don't want it to screw it up or make Vince screw it up somehow.
No, I know what you're saying, because they're automatically going to start thinking, oh my God, making a face, the fans love him, making a face, instead of realizing that we live in a different time now where it's cool to cheer the bad guy, and that's just the kind of crowd that you have now. Like, people like bad guys. When they're as cool as Roman Reigns, they like him. Also, on another note, I just wanted to say that maybe the reason why Edge is so cranky is because he made his choice before The Miz became champion and realized, I made the wrong choice, bro.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah, he's like, oh, man, I messed up.
Yes.
Well, this is an interesting point. Before we go off the air, who do you guys think is going to be, like, WrestleMania is going to have 30,000 fans in attendance. Who do you guys think is going to be the most over person in WWE? When fans are back in the building, I'll start with you, Matt.
For WrestleMania or the real audience?
Let's just say in general. You can pick anybody across three brands: Raw, SmackDown, NXT.
Oh, you can't ask me that. I think you would think it would be Roman, but I think we'll still have fans that are gonna sit back and like wait to see what the person next to them does. Do they cheer? Okay, I'm just and follow the leader. Because it's the first time. Damn it, that's a tough question.
Yeah, you guys can participate as well. It is a pretty tough one. Who do you think it's going to be, Issa?
I think it's a toss-up between Roman Reigns. I think Bianca Belair will also be up there with getting a really good reaction. Everybody loves her. Where Roman, I like what Matt is saying, because it's still, for some people, cool to hate Roman Reigns. That's never going to change. He's just there, and some people are going to be open to the new character. Haters. Some people would always boo him, right? So it's like
haters are gonna boo him.
I don't know why. There's no reason to boo him right now. He's delivering.
I think Reigns will be interesting. Yeah, Reigns, I think, definitely will be a popular guy. But if they wait too long, I mean, if it takes too long for them to come back, and Reigns is just seen as like an OP, like overpowered heel, they might turn on him in some. But I do think Reigns is going to be super over as babyface. But I will tell you, you guys are going to call me crazy. I think the most over person in WWE when they have fans back is going to be Cameron Grimes, okay? Because I think this gimmick that he's doing, he's going to be like a
You are crazy.
Like the Damian Sandow, Heath Slater, Rusev Day, that type of like cult, ironic. Like, people are going to flip for it. Cameron Grimes. Remember I said this.
Okay, no. But you did hedge your bet, because you then immediately threw it down to the mid-card level pops that those guys were getting.
Yeah, Yeah, but no, at one point, those guys were, like, Rusev Day was the most over thing in WWE at one point in terms of, like, how he was selling his merchandise. So I'm putting Cameron Grimes in that territory. My answer is Cameron Grimes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a crazy. Before we leave, though, we do have a marriage proposal. I mean, I have to, it's a marriage, you know.
No.
All bells is marry me, Issa. I'm unemployed, but I have potential, LOL. So are we going to go off with the marriage proposal or not? Absolutely not, Holy Caulfield. No more marriage proposal unless you pay $20 in the super chat, ladies and gentlemen, okay? None of that. We have one more super chat before we leave. This is from Michael Sachs Jr. Have a question about DB. When does those running kick in the corner? Did he always grab the rope or starting doing that when he first came back?
Always. Always grabs the rope on his follow through. Always.
I thought that was that's normal for him, right?
Yep.
And he definitely makes sure to do that, especially with the concussion issues that he's had. That's, you know, instead of landing on his head, he wants to grab the rope to make sure that he doesn't land
all the way over. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then Bear Hudson says, to have two black women main event WrestleMania is something I never thought I would see. I'm really interested to see that happen. That is a great point. I mean, let alone one black person main event, two black women main event in WrestleMania, which really could happen, is really a special thing.
It should, because Roman's going to go over. Okay, so if people want this babyface magic WrestleMania closing moment, you go with Bianca.
Bianca going over Sasha night one will be an amazing moment, and it will be remembered. And I am very excited.
Who closes night two then? Who closes
Roman
night
and Edge. Two? Then? Roman Reigns.
I see Roman and Edge too.
They're not.
You saved your biggest match, right? Like
listen to me. By far and away, it's the biggest match. We get that. Everyone understands that. But if they're sold on, they have to close both nights with the babyface going over. I'm telling you, they would. I don't know.
They had a cash in main event. You know, they had Seth Rollins outsmart everybody in main event at WrestleMania. I can see them putting Roman.
Was he
over.
A babyface though at the time? No, he was. Seth was a heel. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see. I don't know. I will put Reigns.
I mean, let's be very clear. That is by far and away the biggest match on the show. It's not even debatable. It's not even close to being debatable. Sasha and Bianca's going to be off the chain. It's going to be a great match. Everyone's looking forward to it. It's a dream match. But if there were fans allowed back into this arena, trust me when I tell you, the main draw of this pay-per-view is Roman Edge. And it makes money. So, obviously, it's the biggest match on the show. I was just wondering if they were going to, you know, switch it around somehow and get too cute because they have to finish the show on a good note. Crap.
Do you guys think we see Brock Lesnar? A lot of people in the chat are saying Brock Lesnar is going to be part of the biggest match at WrestleMania.
Wait, what?
Do you see Brock Lesnar coming back?
WWE title on Lashley, then save Lesnar for like a SummerSlam. You know what I mean? Like I wouldn't have him come back right now. Just wait until you have full fans allowed in the building for Lesnar.
Let Bobby get on a run.
Yeah.
A monster heel run. A la Brock. And then have Brock come back and try to be the bully beater upper. But he better not get it done either. Bobby better beat him too.
Yeah, that being said, Lesnar and Lashley, I cannot wait for that match, and this is the right time to do it, just not for WrestleMania. Let's save it for SummerSlam.
Yeah, Lesnar-Lashley has always been an interesting match, but now that Lashley's as hot as he is, I would – I mean, you know, people would complain either way if Brock came back, but if he came back for Lashley, like, I'd so be here for that. But I agree. It's not a match that needs a title. It's something that you could hold off on as long as you keep Bobby Lashley strong.
He has to put Bobby over, though. Otherwise, I don't want to see it.
No, I would love to see it. Okay, so before we get out of here, Matt Morgan, you got anything to plug?
Nope.
Okay, Issa, it's on you.
Nope, just NYC Demon Diva on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, you guys are so humble. Follow me on Twitter at This Is Nasty. Go on my YouTube channel, Pro Wrestling Bits, and go on Forbes and read one of my articles. It's very fun. You guys have been great. This has been a great podcast. We got two more super chats before we leave. Jesus, the black woman demographic is untapped resource in WWE. They have top women who look like them. Yes, yeah. I mean, it's a great demographic they need to exploit, and they are now. Big Show breaks his AEW contract. Roman Edge wins. Well, you guys really don't want us to leave. You guys are just throwing all these super chats and the Chris Pan. Bianca needs to close night two fireworks close show. I would love that. If WrestleMania went off the air with Bianca Belair celebrating, that's
I agree.
All I could ask for. Well, you guys
are. I Well, I would love to see, you know how excited I am for Sasha and Bianca. I'm just thinking the way that they tend to book WrestleMania, I can see them saving. Listen, I'm a woman. I've seen the main event once in how many WrestleMania now, so I don't put my money in saying they're going to put the women last.
No, you said Roman Edge. Nope, you can't go back. You said Roman Edge.
Listen,
you
I
heard
the
it.
Main event
does not want to give Divas a chance. That's the hashtag.
The main event of WrestleMania is going to be Bad Bunny against The Miz for the WWE Championship.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Bad Bunny versus Miz will main event WrestleMania. Good night, everybody. You guys stay safe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.